In the light of hadith, 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 in the light of hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله we are again in our beautiful silsila in the light of hadith. Today we will discuss some of ahadith qudsiya which have been narrated by the holy prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, but the words are ascribed to Allah azza wa jalla. The first hadith has been reported from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of hadith is an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qala qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam qala Allah kadhabani ibnu adam وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَٰلِكَ وَشَّتَمَنِي وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَٰلِكَ أَمَّا تَكْذِيبُهُ إِيَّايَ أَنْ يَقُولَ إِنِّي لَنْ أُعِيدَهُ كَمَا بَدَأْتُهُ وَلَيْسَ أَوَّلُ الْخَلْقِ بِأَهْوَنَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ إِعَادَتِهِ وَأَمَّا شَتْمُهُ إِيَّايَ أَنْ يَقُولَ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا وَأَنَا الصَّمَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ أَلِدْ وَلَمْ أُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لِي كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah stated, the son of Adam belied me and he hasn't the right to do so, and he abuses me and he hasn't the right to do so. His telling a lie against me is his saying that I will never recreate him as I created him for the first time, while the first creation was not easier than the second creation for me, means both are alike. And his abusing me is his saying that Allah has begotten a son, a children, while I am as-samad, free from all needs and all are in need of me, who begets not nor was he begotten, and there is none comparable unto him. Hadith have been reported in Bukhari Sharif. And the topic for this is obvious. Two basic beliefs of Islam have been mentioned in this hadith. The first is about the day of judgment. The people would be presented in the court of Allah for to be taken account. And the second belief that Allah Azza wa Jal is free from needs and he is free from offsprings, from children. And as in the explanation of this hadith in our previous episode, we have mentioned that the belief of the day of judgment is very important in Islam, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jal had stated that belief in many surahs of the Holy Quran. Even in the first surah of the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated Malik Yawmiddin, the Lord of the day of judgment, the Lord of the day of recompense. What is that? That is the belief in the day of judgment. That in most of the surahs of the Holy Quran, the same belief has been repeated again and again. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in hadith Qudsi had mentioned the same belief. And the second belief, that is about Allah Azza wa Jal is free from offsprings. Now, the text, the words of hadith which have been mentioned here, كَذَّبَنِي إِبْنُ آدَمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ ذَٰلِكَ. The son of Adam belied me while he doesn't have right to do so. What is the meaning? The people, the sons of Adam, Ibn Adam, has belied Allah. So it is obvious that Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in the Holy Quran in many places about the day of judgment that would take place. The day would come when the people would be rejected and they would be presented in the court of Allah. It has been mentioned in many verses of the Holy Quran, as we have mentioned about Surah Al-Fatiha, then In other surah, even in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Maidah, and rest of the surahs of the Quran. In most of the surahs of the Holy Quran, the same belief has been mentioned and that has been repeated again and again. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is saying the day of judgment will take place. The people would be given their life again. They would be revived and they would be presented in the court of Allah. And these people who are the denier and rejecter of this belief, the day of judgment, they say it will never happen. It will never happen. The people wouldn't be resurrected. They wouldn't be present in the court of Allah. That day will never take place. Now on one side, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying the day will come, the day will take place, the people would be resurrected. And these people are saying all these things are lies. So it means they are belying Allah Azza wa Jalla. They are ascribing lies to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that is the meaning of these words. Kazzabani ibnu Adam walam yakul lahu zalik. They, Ibn Adam has belied me and he doesn't have right to do so. Then, what is the reason why did those people deny the day of judgment? What was doubt in their mind? And because of that, they again and again belied and they again and again said the people wouldn't be given their life again and they wouldn't be presented. What was the doubt in their mind? Allah Azza wa Jalla had mentioned in the Holy Quran, in many places the doubts, what were in their minds. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla has given the answers as well. Now, in this hadith, which we are discussing about, in this hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, وَلَيْسَ أَوَّلُ الْخَلْقِ بِأَحْوَنَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ إِعَادَتِهِ. The first creation is not easier for me than the second creation. Means both are alike. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has created first time, He would create them second time as well. Both are alike for Him. The Lord who has created them from a drop, the drop of semen. So He would create them second time as well. There wouldn't be any difficulty, and that is not, there is no impossibility in that. That is the answer which has been given in this hadith. And because that was their main doubt and that was their main objection, or that was their main question, which they raised again and again and again. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla has answered this question in Quran many times. As particularly in Surah Yasin, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned their question and then Allah Azza wa Jalla gave two answers. The two answers and both are very beautiful. As in Surah Yasin, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَى أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَى وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. These are the very beautiful answers of their question. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the translation. Does not man see that we have created him from nutfa, mixed male and female semen drops? Yet behold, he stands forth as an open opponent. In the creation, stands forth as an open opponent. And he puts forth for us a parable and forgets his own creation. He says, who will give life to these bones when they have been rotted away and became dust? Say, O beloved Prophet, He will give life to them who created them for the first time, and He is the all-knower of every creation. Is not He who created the heavens and the earth able to create like of them? Yes, indeed, He is the all-knowing, supreme creator. Verily, His command, when He intends a thing, is only that He says to it, be, and it is. So these are two answers. Allah Azza wa Jal has answered them in detail. What is the answer that Allah Azza wa Jal told them, and Allah Azza wa Jal reminded them that look at your first creation. What were you? Nothing. You were a drop. And Allah Azza wa Jal created you from that drop, the drop of semen. You were nothing and Allah Azza wa Jal created you. So the one who has created you from that drop of semen, he would create you from your rotten bones as well. The first answer. The second answer, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of the heavens and the earth. The big and the great creation, the creation of the heavens and the earth, that is much more bigger than the creation of human beings. So the one, the Allah, who has created all these heavens and earth, he has power to recreate you as well. Why? Because he knows how to create. And he is all creator. He knows everything and he has all powers. So who has, the one who has power over the creation of heavens and earth, he can create you as well. There is no difficulty, there is no impossibility in that. And then your first creation is like the second creation. The creation is, the first creation is like recreation. And recreation is like the first creation. So who has created you first, the first time? He will create you second time as well. So these are two answers. Then Allah Azza wa Jal told the people, told the human being, told the entire verse, the his power, how is that and how that works and functions. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling that إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. His command is only to say a thing be, when he intends a thing to be, to come into existence, he say, kun be fayakun, and that it comes into existence, that becomes. So that is the matter of the power of Allah, and that is the command of Allah, and that is the power of Allah, and that is the way of creation from Allah Azza wa Jal to the entire universe. He just says only be, and the things come into existence. So that is the creation of Allah, and that is the power of Allah. So that's the thing which has been mentioned in this ayah. And the same topic has been mentioned in hadith. Now the second thing which has been mentioned in this hadith, that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَأَمَّا شَتْمُهُ إِيَّايَ أَنْ يَقُولَ اِتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا وَأَنَا الصَّمَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ أَلِدْ وَلَمْ أُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لِي كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. His abusing me is that he says, Allah has adopted child, Allah has adopted offspring. Why? أَنَا الصَّمَدْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla stating, wa ana samad, and I am a samad. Samad is one who is free from all needs, and all are in need of him. So that is the quality of Allah, and that is the attribute of Allah. He is a samad. Lam alid wa lam ulad. I didn't beget anything, and I was not begotten as well. And none is comparable to me. None is equal to me. So that is the attribute of Allah. And there were some people who claimed some things or some creations as the daughters of Allah, as the son of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal is stating about them, وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ بُنُ اللَّهِ. Nasara said, الْمَسِيحُ بُنُ اللَّهِ. Masih, Messiah, Isa al-Islam, is son of Allah. ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. That is their saying with their mouth. Mean that is only their words of their mouth, which doesn't have any base, which doesn't have any foundation, which doesn't have any proof and argument, the perfect argument, the true argument. There is no true argument behind that. That is only the sayings of their words. Because how did they say that? And how did they claim that? What proof do they have regarding this? That Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Allah? If other person claim that I am the son of Allah, so how can you deny that? And how can you reject the claim of that person? So as other people don't have any proof behind their claims, similarly you don't have, you Christians don't have any proof behind your claim, behind your belief, the wrong belief, the false belief. So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. And then there were some people, the polytheists, who used to say that angels are the daughters of Allah, ma'ad Allah. They used to say, and Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned their belief, the beliefs of these polytheists in Quran. They say the angels are the daughters of Allah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal refuted them, and Allah Azza wa Jal negated their belief, and Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that angels, bal ibadun mukramun, they are the bondsmen of Allah. and they are the respected slaves of Allah. They are honorable slaves of Allah. They are not the daughters of Allah. So that is the belief which have been mentioned in this hadith. Now in the next hadith, the same topic is being repeated. That is another hadith, but that is about the attribute of Allah being free from the offspring, from the children. Hadith have been narrated by Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحد أصبر على أذى يسمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم. Narrated Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, none is more patient than Allah against the harmful and annoying words he hears from the people. They ascribe offspring to him, yet he bestows upon them health and provision. Hadith has been reported in Bukhari Sharif. Now in this hadith, there are some matters which should be discussed. The first thing, the word is ma ahadun asbara ala adhan, means there is teasing and harming. But Allah Azza wa Jal is free from being hurt and free from being teased. So now what is the meaning of that word adhan? And in Quran, yu'udhun Allah wa rasoola, yu'udhun Allah, the word is in Quran. That is in the meaning of displeasing Allah. Means they utter those words which displease Allah, and they act those actions which displease Allah. So that is in that meaning, because Allah Azza wa Jal is free from being hurt and teased. Then the second thing, that Allah Azza wa Jal shows patience, and Allah Azza wa Jal shows patience more than others, more than anyone else. So what is the meaning of showing patience? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is also free from that as well. The meaning of showing patience here is not to punish them immediately at the spot as they commit sins. Allah Azza wa Jal punishes them? No, that's not the case. Allah Azza wa Jal gives them a respite for repentance of that sins. So that's the people commit sins, they commit adultery, they commit shirk, but Allah Azza wa Jal gives them a respite till the last moment of their life. Before their death, they can repent of that. They are allowed to repent of that, and Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive them. But if someone doesn't repent of polytheism, so then now the door of repentance would be closed for him at the time of his death. Means after his death, the door would be closed. And that is the meaning of Ma ahadun asbar. Allah Azza wa Jal shows patience more than others. Means Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't punish at the moment. Allah Azza wa Jal gives respite. And if Allah Azza wa Jal really punishes people at the spot as they commit sin, if Allah punishes them at that time, so then none would remain safe on the surface of the earth. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Fatir, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّىٰ. Translation, and if Allah were to punish men for that which they earn, He would not leave a moving creature, living creature on the surface of the earth, but He gives them respite to an appointed time. He gives them respite to an appointed time. That appointed time is the day of judgment. And for the people in this world, the time of the death. So that is the time. وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّىٰ. Now Allah SWT has mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, don't be deceived on the given respite which Allah SWT has given you. On that respite, never be deceived. Never be deceived. Otherwise, Shaitan will try to deceive you. But never be deceived because of him. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And be not deceived about Allah by the deceiver. By the deceiver, deceiver is Shaitan. So be not deceived about Allah by the deceiver. Then in another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the same respite, and that is the answer of some doubts and questions as well, which arise in the minds of people. That as Muslims claim, and Alhamdulillah, we are successful in the hereafter, and we are beloved to Allah. And infidels and non-believers and polytheists, they are infidels and they are disliked bondsmen of Allah. So if they are not accepted in the court of Allah, if they are not disliked in the court of Allah, so then why are they prosperous in this world? Why are they successful in this world? What is the reason? We are believers and we are facing and confronting the things which we know. And those are infidels and those are non-believers. They don't believe in Allah, but even then they are prosperous and their countries are developed countries and they are spending their lives with happiness and with enjoyment. So what is that? If they are disliked, so why are they enjoying with their lives? And if we are liked, so why are in these problems and calamities? The answers Allah Azza wa Jalla has given in the Holy Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla stated, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَطَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمِحَادِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla stated, be not deceived by the movement of the disbeliever throughout the land. Be not deceived by the movement of the disbelievers throughout the land. They are moving throughout the land with prosperity, with happiness, with enjoyment, with wealth and with peace and with pride and with all other enjoyable things. But be not deceived by them. Why? Because mata'an qaleel, that is a small provision. That provision is for a short time, just for 60 years, for 70 years, for 90 years. A person could survive, for his age could be 100 years. And he can enjoy with his wealth for 100 years. But after that, what would happen to him? Then the death would come and then he would enter into hereafter. And then the punishment from Allah would start. So their enjoyment is only for a short time. Though apparently in our apparent eyes that is a very long period, but that is only a small period. That is a very short period. Because in comparison with the time of Day of Judgment and after that, it is nothing. Because these are only 100 years might be. But that is eternal life. Endless life. There is no end for that. That is billions and billions and billions of years, and more than that. So there is no comparison between this life and that life. So that's why Allah is stating mata'an qaleel. That is a small provision. Then minute provision. Then thumma ma'wahum jahannam. Then their abode is hell. Wa bi'sa al-mihad. So that is their abode. So that's why when we look at the people, we look at the non-believers, they are prosperous, their countries are developed, they are enjoying with their life, they are in peace, they are in other enjoyments of the life. We must not be deceived by the movement of those non-believers throughout the land. Why? Because that is for a short time. And then the real life would start. The real would start. The real life, which is that? The life of the hereafter. So Allah Azza wa Jal is informing us about the difference between this life and that life. La yaghurrannaka taqallubul ladina kafaru fil bilad mata'un qalil thumma ma'wahum jahannam wa bi'sal mihad. So now in this hadith it has been mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal gives respite to those people who ascribe son and children to Allah. Even then Allah Azza wa Jal gives them health and grants them their sustenance. But that is a respite from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the next of these, and that is again about the right of Allah, one light of Allah. Hadith have been reported from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He mentioned, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى يؤذيني ابن آدم يسب الدهر وأنا الدهر بيد الأمر أقلب الليل والنهار. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, the son of Adam annoys me by abusing al-dahr, time. For I am al-dahr. In my hands are all things, and I cause the changing of night and day. Bukhari and Muslim have reported this hadith. Now, the same words are in this hadith. Yu'vini ibn Adam. Ibn Adam hurt me means annoys me. Ibn Adam annoys me. So the word Iza is in the meaning of displeasing. Means the people, the sons of Adam, they displease Allah by their abusing the time, by abusing the Ad-Dahr. What is the meaning of abusing Ad-Dahr, abusing time? As it is very common nowadays, the people say that the time is very bad and the time is destructing us, that is destroying us. So mostly destruction and these kind of things, the people ascribe to time. But time is nothing. Time is not mu'assir. That is not effective itself. The real effect and cause is from Allah Azza wa Jal. He is mu'assir haqiqi and He is musabbib haqiqi. So He causes everything to people. And He creates the things. But the people ascribe the destruction to time. And time is nothing here in this place, in the ineffectiveness. So when the people say that time is bad, so when the time is nothing here, means time is not effective, so when, what are they saying? And to whom they are ascribing that badness? So that's why it is appropriate not to say any evil word to time. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that I do everything. I cause the changing of the day and night. Wa ana dahr. Now the other word, wa ana dahr. I am dahr. I am time. So really, the time or the dahr is the name of Allah? No, that's not the case. Our scholars, they have mentioned and they have written in their books, the dahr is not the attribute of Allah. Allah's attributes have been mentioned in Quran and Hadith, but there are some words which would be considered as mutashabihat. So mind me, this word of dahr is mutashabihat in this regard. Because dahr is time, time is creation, and Allah is not creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla is not creation. He is creator. He creates time. So that's why He is not creation. And time is creation, and He is free from that. So now what is the meaning of anadhar? I am the creator of time. I am the creator of time, and I am the one who turns the time. So mu'assir and effective behind time is Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why we can't say dahr for Allah Azza wa Jal as the attribute of Allah. And then the other things which are not effective themselves, which are not mu'assiri haqiqi, so we should abstain from ascribing an evil word to them as the weather, summer and winter. So sometimes we complain about weather, about the hot summer season and the severe winter season. Sometimes we complain, but we shouldn't do that. Why? Because weather is not created itself. That is created by Allah. Whether it is summer or winter, whether it is severe or that is normal, but in any case. The weather is the creation of Allah. So when weather is nothing itself, that is only the creation of Allah, and that is not effecting. Through that weather, basically Allah Azza wa Jalla is causing some effect to us. So that's why we should abstain from ascribing any evil word to weather, to time, and to summer, to winter, and to these kind of things. So that is the brief summary of this hadith. Now the next hadith, that is about the significance of Kalimah Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, and the importance of belief. Hadith has been reported from Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of Hadith and Abi Zardi radiallahu anhu, Qala ataytun nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayhi thawbun abiyat, wa huwa na'imun, thumma ataytuhu wa qad istayqadah, faqala, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ قُلْتُ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقَ قَالَ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقَ قُلْتُ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقَ قَالَ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقَ قُلْتُ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقَ قَالَ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقَ على رغم انف ابي ذر وكان ابو ذر اذا حدث بها قال واذا رغم انف ابي ذر. سيدنا ابو ذر غفاري رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated, I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was sleeping and was covered with a white sheet of cloth. Then it came to him later on and he was awake. He said, a bondsman who declares there is none God but Allah, la ilaha illallah, and dies with that belief will enter paradise. I asked, even if he commits adultery and steals? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed, yes, even if he commits adultery and steals. I asked again in surprise, he will enter paradise even if he commits adultery and steals? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed again, even if he commits adultery and steals. Again the third time I asked, even if he commits adultery and steals? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, even if he commits adultery and steals, though Abu Dharr may find it unpleasant. The sub narrator said that whenever Abu Huraira narrated this hadith, he was sure to conclude with, even though Abu Dharr finds it unpleasant. This is the hadith. The narrator is very famous companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Dharr. The name of that sahabi is Jundub bin Junadah, and he belongs to tribe of Bani Ghaffar. And it is said that he was the fifth person who embraced faith, who accepted Islam. He was the fifth one. Means the first is Hazrat Khadija and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Zaid bin Harisa, and he was the fifth one who accepted Islam. So means he accepted Islam in the beginning of the announcement of prophethood by Sarkar sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he went back to his nation, and then after the campaign of Khandaq, he came to Medina, and then he stayed with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shifted to Rabada, the name of a place, and then he stayed there till his death. And he had a lot of excellences. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned many excellences for him. Now the words of hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Ma min abdin qala la ilaha illallah." The person is saying only these words, "La ilaha illallah," and then if he dies with that belief, he would enter into paradise. Now what is the meaning? If a person recites only these words, "La ilaha illallah," so that would be enough for him to be considered as mu'min, as believer, as Muslim? No, that's not enough. Because it is obvious, without believing in the messengership of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person can't become Muslim. He can't become believer. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, both are the conditions for being Muslim, for being believers. So now what is the meaning? So basically, that is like a name. That's like a name of that whole sentence. And we say, reciting Alhamdulillah is wajib in prayer. So the recitation of Alhamdulillah is wajib in prayer. It doesn't mean that only reciting these words Alhamdulillah is enough. No. The meaning is this, that the recitation of the whole surah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen till Ghairil Maghdubi Alayhim Waradbalin, that is wajib. But the word Alhamdulillah is the name of the whole surah. So similarly, the word La ilaha illallah is the name of the whole kalima, Tayyiba, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then believing in all the essential beliefs of Islam is also necessary. Without that, a person can't become a Muslim. And then the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Thumma mata ala dhalika illa dakhala al-jannah." And whosoever dies with that belief, he would enter paradise. What does that mean? So before the actual meaning of these words, I'll mention some excellences of recitation of these this kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah. There are many excellences which have been mentioned in hadith, and if we read the books of excellences of zikrullah, we will find many of them. I'll mention only two. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, حدیث ہے امپورٹڈ ان بخاری شریف, حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ سیڈ, او اللہ's messenger, who will be the luckiest person who will gain your intercession on the day of resurrection? Allah's messenger said, O Abu Huraira, I have thought that none will ask me about it before you, as I know your eagerness to learn the ahadith. The luckiest person who will have my intercession on the day of resurrection will be the one who said sincerely from the bottom of his heart, La ilaha illallah. None is worthy of worship except Allah. So from the bottom of his heart, whosoever will recite La ilaha illallah, so he is the luckiest person for gaining my intercession on the day of judgment. The next hadith, and this hadith have been reported in Tirmidhi Sharif, one of the book of the name of a book of hadith. Hadith have been reported by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he has reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, I met Ibrahim on the night of my ascent, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the mujza of Miraj. So that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, O Muhammad, recite salam from me to your nation and inform them that paradise has pure soil and delicious water, and it is a flat, treeless plain. There is no tree on the land of paradise, and that its seeds are Subhanallahi, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallahu, wallahu akbar. These are the seeds of the trees of paradise. So this hadith encourages us and motivates us to recite these beautiful kalimat, Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah. So in this hadith, the excellence of a recitation of la ilaha illallah have been mentioned as well. So that's why I have recited this hadith. So we should make our habit to recite this kalima more and more. The much we can recite this kalima, the better it would be. So we should make it as our habit to recite kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah. Now the question that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned this excellence and this glad tiding, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given this glad tiding to many sahaba ikram. As in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given this glad tiding to Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala. And a few episodes ago, we have mentioned some hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the same excellence and glad tiding to Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala. And there is another hadith as well in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the same glad tiding to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So what is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned the excellences of kalima tayyiba and the glad tiding of recitation and believing, the excellence of the significance and importance of belief again and again? The purpose and the wisdom behind that is this, that the people should be aware of the significance and importance of iman. Iman is based on this kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew very well the importance of belief, how much is that? That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the same thing again and again in front of many sahaba ikram, so that the people should be aware of the importance of iman. Because when they would be aware of the importance and significance of iman, they would try to safeguard it. Because without knowing and without having awareness or awareness of the importance of something, we become careless. We don't care. But when we know the importance of something, so we try to be careful about that and we try to safeguard that. As if a person is given a stone and he is not informed what is the importance, what is the preciousness of this stone, so he wouldn't be careful. He might place that in some careless place and then he loses that. But if a person is given a stone and then he is informed, it is the most precious stone in the world. That's the most precious diamond in the world. The price of this stone is more than 4 billion rupees, more than 4 billion pounds. So then know the condition of that person. How would be that? And how much careful would he be about the diamond, about the stone? No, that is stone. So when a person is aware of the importance, the significance of something, so then he becomes careful regarding that. Otherwise, he remains careless. Now, the significance and the importance of belief, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew more than any other person. So that's why he told us and he informed us about the importance again and again, so that the price of iman should be placed in our heart. That would be engraved in our heart. And we remain very careful about that. So some people raise question as the refuter of hadith and munkirin hadith. They raise the question, and some fake wise people, they raise the question, if that is the case, that is the importance of recitation of La ilaha illallah, so then what is the need of doing other good deeds? So that is the problem of their understanding. Why? Because these people who are raising these questions, and they have doubts regarding iman in their minds, they don't know the importance of iman. So that's why they can raise this question. But because alhamdulillah, we are Muslims, we are believers, and we know the importance of iman. So that's why for us, these ahadith are very, very precious, very, very beneficial, and very, very useful. Because when we know the importance of iman, we would be most careful regarding this. We would prefer our iman and our belief over everything. Though we have to sacrifice our life, we have to sacrifice our wealth, we have to sacrifice our whole world on iman, we would do so. We'll do so. Why? Because we know the importance of iman. That is the means of salvation on the day of judgment. That is the means of salvation forever. The forever salvation would be granted on that behalf, on the behalf of iman. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned the importance of iman again and again. Now, one question. As Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked again and again, Ya Rasulullah, the person would enter into paradise even if he commits adultery and steals? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam third time confirmed, yes, even if he commits adultery and steals. So what does that mean? Does it mean that if a person is reciting Kalima Tayyiba and he is believer, so then though he commits adultery, he steals and he commits other sins, there wouldn't be any punishment for him? Is that the meaning? No, that is not the meaning. That is not the meaning. Otherwise, there will be contradiction between Quran, hadith, and the verses of the Quran with each other, and hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with each other. Those would be contradicting each other. That is not the meaning. Because if that is the meaning, if a person is starts Kalima Tayyiba, so then at any cost he would enter into paradise without any punishment, so then what is the need of those warnings which have been given about committing adultery and the other sins? So then recite Kalima and then enter into paradise. There is no need to offer five time prayers and paying zakah and fasting the month of Ramadan and performing Hajj and abstaining from sin. There is no need of that. But that's not the meaning. That's not the meaning. The meaning of this hadith is that if a person is believer, he recites this Kalima, he believes in Allah and all the essential of Islam, in Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Day of Judgment and other essential of Islam, so if he commits sins, so it's upon Allah. Allah might punish him and Allah might forgive him. And if Allah punishes that person who commits sins, so even then, the time would come, though that is after 500 years, after 1000 years, but at least the time would come when Allah Azza wa Jal take that person out of the hellfire and make him enter paradise. On the behalf of this kalima, the person would never enter into paradise forever. Though he might enter hell forever, but he will never enter hellfire forever. if he enter hellfire, so at least he would be taken out from that after his punishment, and on the behalf of that iman, he would enter into paradise. So that is the meaning of this hadith. May Allah grant us tawfiq to recite this kalima again and again, and may Allah make us firm and steadfast on our faith, on our iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the light of hadith, 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 in the light of